Welcome to episode 55 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to the Judgment Eternal Champions miniatures games. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bile on the Discord. And as always, I'm joined with my lovely co-host here, David Wonky, Wonky Kong on the Discord. And how are you doing this evening, Wonky?
I'm tired, my friend. Tired. That is the best way to describe dad life.
I can believe this. Obviously some major events have happened since we last recorded. Obviously, Warfare Weekend among them.
Yeah.
But then obviously you had a major personal issue happen while Warfare Weekend was going on.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into the actual story.
How I was going to say, yeah,
we're together, but
we'll get into it in a little bit. But yeah, dad life.
I am now a dad, so that's why I haven't been around. I mean, I've been trying to keep up on the Discord at least a little bit. A lot of time in the hospital still, and my daughter Stella came a bit early, so been dealing with that, but yeah, she's doing good. Life's doing good. I'm doing good. We're just we're tired. A lot of time at the hospital, not as much time at home.
Makes sense. Now I am gonna say a bunch of us at Warfare Weekend were making the joke immediately that with the baby being born, there were a couple of us taking bets on whether it would be Gendris or Lori or anything like that. And I immediately looked at them all and I said, "All of you are nuts. His wife is cool with his hobby, but not that cool."
Yeah, no, that definitely. We had the names narrowed down very quickly. Was not going to name her after Lori Bell or Gendris. if it was going to be anything, it was going to be Dolmargar.
Right? No, there you go. Yeah.
I'm
sure that would have gone over real well.
Yeah, definitely. The wife would have loved that. We had names kind of pared down. We each had our number one, and I let the wife win. So. Oh.
Smart man.
It was her pick. So, it's been good so far.
That's good to hear. Well, guys, I know we have a jam-packed episode to talk about, and it's been a couple weeks since Warfare, so we're going to jump right into it. And the first thing we want to jump into tonight is the most exciting event that has just been unleashed upon us, which is in our Judgment News. That's our Creature Caster Black Friday sales. So, Wonky, why don't you run us through that?
Yeah, so the Black Friday sales have just hit for the Creature Caster website. And since the models are now for sale on the website, there are Creature Caster deals that include Judgment. So right now there are a couple of deals. There are more that are incoming based on what Peter said on the Discord. But there are two deals right now specifically for Judgment. And then there is some build your own. I think of it like build your own six packs, like when I buy beer, but not quite that, way. But
I like it though.
There is an Ista and a Krognar bundle, and there are two versions of the bundle. Essentially, the large version of the bundle is a core box, a 5v5 mat, the STL files for the terrain in Vajasha. So if you did not get those from being in the Kickstarter, you'll get those files from the bundle, and then you get three additional heroes. For Ista, you get Astariel, Barney, and Isabel, and that is for $188 US, and you get a $100 free in models based on that price. I don't know what their prices are from the site off the top of my head, but it's basically, I think you buy essentially the core box and the 5v5 mat, and then you get three heroes for free, I think is how that roughly maths out. And then you also get the STL files. There is also a cheaper version of the bundle, which is just a 5v5s mat, the STL files, and then just Astariel, Barney, and Isabel, if you don't want a core box. And that is for $100. And basically, they're claiming that is $60 in free models, because I think essentially the idea there is you buy a mat and one of the heroes, you get two heroes free, I believe, based on their pricing. And then Krognar has the same two options, the large option with the core box, the one without. In the three heroes you get are Yorgoth, Styx, and Cradle, which are some pretty good Krognar heroes.
Yeah.
Because you get pretty good Krognar heroes in the box, right? You get your Kogan, you get your Zarin, you get your Rakir,
right.
Skull.
Yep.
You have pretty good options in there.
Yeah.
I think those are two pretty good bundles. They also have some build-your-own bundles, which are essentially you buy models. There are two different ones. There are big creatures, which is buying some of their larger models. So this would probably be it looks okay. So it's the queen, king, lady, and lord models. Also includes elementals, dragons, the Atriarch sets, and other large stuff. And basically for you buy one at full price. If you buy a second, you get 10% off both. If you buy a third, it's 15% off all three. And if you buy four or more, everything is 25% off. And then there's also a version of that for the quote-unquote little creatures. So this would be for the individual Judgment Heroes would fall into that category. So you can spend there. So you spend, you know, buy a couple models, you get more percentage off. When you spend, and I believe all of it is still valid for earning the creature coin stuff as well. I forget exactly how that works, to be honest with you.
The only thing it says is that you can't combine promotions, but you should still get your creature coins based off your purchase. So,
correct. So, and there's some paint stuff as well, but mm-hmm. I'm not as familiar with the paint sets and what it looks like. It's some new cuttlefish stuff. So,
yeah, so like I think also one of the sets is one of the sets I think is the new Genesis line that Ryan is kicking out for cuttlefish paints. I will actually have an update on those on the podcast here in the near future because I picked up the box at Warfare.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to trying them out and really expanding my paint range with them because I got to see him use them and they looked fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like the other paint sets are themed around their different demon factions.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like there's an Onslaught, a Ruin, a Malefica, and an Ecstasy, where it's kind of colors to paint whatever their studio scheme is for those demons. So,
yeah, and actually, let's see. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, it says 5, 6, 7, 8.
Colors. That's yeah, eight not colors bad. For $40. Yeah, what, $5?
$5
a paint. Which I don't know what paint prices are because I don't paint things. So
that's not bad.
Okay. So there is also a thing if you like cuttlefish paints. So that's probably the first big sale we're kind of seeing on Judgment.
And they actually do qualify it, like they clarified at the bottom that every qualifying purchase made in the store will award the creature coins.
Okay. So, so I know Creature Caster always tends to do pretty good Black Friday sales. I know last year, I'm trying to remember what it was, but they usually do some pretty good sales for Black Friday.
I'm pretty sure last year it was the same thing with the big creatures, little creatures, but they didn't have the, and they had just introduced the cuttlefish, right?
Okay. Yep. Some pretty good deals, I think, for the Black Friday stuff. If you're, you missed out on the Kickstarter, or you're trying to pick up, maybe a couple of extra heroes to round out whatever, your favorite god is to play. Pretty loose ideal. The other thing I will call, they do free shipping on orders that are 150 or more if you're within the U.S. 250 if you were outside the U.S. So if you're going international, I think would be for that. So,
always good things to keep in mind.
Yeah, pretty cool for that we're getting some nice deals, especially now that the game's getting out there. We've seen some new people on the Discord. So if people haven't hit on the deal.
Right. Now, did you say how long these are running for?
They are running for 3 weeks, according to what Peter said on the Discord.
Okay.
It was not printed on the Black Friday deals website page, but he did mention 3 weeks starting from today, and today is the 16th. So I know usually we take a few days to edit and get these out. So probably like 2.5 or at least 2 weeks by the time this airs, you'll have to get the Black Friday deals.
Yep. So just definitely a big thing to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So, all right, Wonky. Well, let's jump right from the news, which obviously that is exciting news to see that Judgment is going to be able to be gotten into the hands of more people. And let's jump right into the talk about the Warfare Weekend recap, because we both went and it was a fairly big event for both of us.
Yeah, in some different ways, I guess. So yeah,
absolutely.
Warfare Weekend. It's out. It's the same hotel it's been at for ages. fantastic con. I always enjoy this convention, though mine got cut a little bit short, which we'll get into a little bit later. But yeah, so the first day we both got there, we headed to some Sugar Fire to get some barbecue, because that's usually like mine and my brother's tradition, and we had you and Cooner Bus come along with us for dinner. Yeah. What'd you think about going Sugar Fire the first time?
So, I gotta say, I really enjoyed some of the side dishes and stuff. It was just honestly fun to go out and hang out with you guys and do some of that. So that definitely made the experience better, obviously. But the food was good. Like, it was something that I was like, okay, I can see why they do this as a regular tradition. So it's definitely something I want to do if we're all coming back next year.
So there is another one that my brother and I went to called, I think it's called like Salt and Smoke.
Okay.
That's a little bit farther away from the convention center, and it's in like this very like old timey kind of like neighborhood. The streets are like brick and stuff.
Oh God.
So I think it's supposed to be like, you know, a historical neighborhood or whatever. And it wasn't bad, because someone told us that, like, oh, if you like Sugar Fire, you got to go to this place. It's, like, so much better. And I thought they were pretty similar.
Okay.
But I'm also not, like, the most crazy, like, foodie person.
That's fair.
Like, I kind of have a, all right, if it beats this threshold, I'm fine.
If it doesn't.
It doesn't need to be, like, super fancy.
Right.
And, like, I don't know. So, and I like Sugar Fire a lot closer as well.
That's fair.
I think Salt and Fire was a little bit farther away. And then, because it's like this old historic neighborhood, like parking really sucked, and I feel like it was a lot more expensive, and it didn't feel like it was worth being more expensive than Sugar Fire.
Okay.
But, yeah, so Sugar Fire is always the one that we like to do, and actually we got there pretty early. It wasn't super busy, because like there's been a few times we got there and like the line's out the door.
Well, that was something I did notice, was like, you got, like, when we showed up, we had heard from you that sometimes it gets really busy, and we were like,
yeah,
okay, what the hell, right? But I did notice that as we were leaving, they were starting to stock up on, you know, stack up on people already. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and since they, you know, they smoke everything too, like, it's one of those places that when they run out for the night, like, they run out.
Mm-hmm.
So you might not be able to get everything that's on the menu at that point, so... We went a little bit early. I think it was like 5 or so. I don't think it was super early, but yeah, that was always just a nice little tradition that me and my brother always like to do when we go. And it was fun to have you and Cooner Bus along for that.
Yeah, it was fun to be invited along. So we both appreciated it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so Thursday night is, con's not technically available or like open, right? You can use some badge pickup and stuff, and then was this night that we played the 2v2 team game?
It was.
Okay. So yeah, that monstrosity of a game. So yeah, we, one of the things I wanted to try and do was, when we were not playing events, was to try some of the like official, you know, game modes that aren't the traditional, you know, 3v3, 5v5. So Thursday night, we set up a 2v2 team match, which was kind of interesting.
Very.
So essentially how you set the 2v2 up is you and your teammate each have your own effigy.
Yep.
You each bring your own 3v3 warband. And then, yeah, you basically play where it alternates between, you know, each team and their team members. Kind of wild of a game mode.
Very wild.
You can like effigy recall to your, so your effigies are basically like across the table from each other. So think of like, if you're looking at a map, like top and bottom would be one team, and then left and right would be the other team. And you can effigy recall to your friendly effigy, which we had. Did we have two Krognar players? Were you playing Krognar too, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, you were playing Krognar. My brother was playing Krognar. So you could one action effigy recall basically across the map.
Yep.
Which led to some kind of interesting gameplay moments, I would say. It was pretty fun. It felt like the game was long. And I know, you know, there's a lot to think about when you play just a 3v3 or 5v5 game of Judgment.
Yeah.
And it's like now double the amount of heroes that are on the map and double the amount of players.
Yep. It's so, one of those things that when you think about it initially, you're like, oh, yeah, this shouldn't be a big problem, right? Because you're thinking about it, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm only worrying about this warband or this, and it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like you said, you double up the number of models there, and you don't just double up the number of models, right? And instead of thinking about, okay, I'm playing across from this person, it's, mm-hmm. I have two people that are to my left and right that are immediately trying to kill me. Yeah, how am I going to respond to that?
Yeah, and it was pretty fun. I think playing it on a clock would help it dramatic, because we were at like three and a half hours
for the four of us playing one game. But yeah. We also were like, we were bullshitting. Let's be real here. We were bullshitting between.
Yeah, there was that. And there were runs to the hotel room to grab beers.
Right. There were runs to grab beers and things like that. But I mean, it was also, as we were all sitting there thinking, we were all still getting into the weeds, right?
And I think that's the thing where, like, if you put some sort of a clock on it,
yeah.
You can get out of it. Like, because then it forces you to go. Because if you're trying to think of every permutation of something that can happen, like, you can't. Like, there's too much.
Correct.
Like, you can just sit there and think about it for 20 minutes and still miss. So, like, I don't know. It's a fun mode. I could definitely see running some of like events with it, but it definitely needs some sort of a clock metric. And I don't know if death clock's the right. Maybe it's like an activation clock or something.
Yeah, I think that would help more than anything is just an activation clock.
Yeah, like 3 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, hey, like you have to have somewhat of a plan.
Yep.
It was fun. I think there's maybe some tweaks that could happen to the map as well.
Yeah.
But
and I'm pretty sure, Wonky, that I have your stuff or Simon does. That has all your notes in it.
Yeah, I took a bunch of notes, and I know in the playtest channel it got brought up a little bit, and because we had some like questions, because you know, really the Krognar kind of made it very funky.
Yeah.
Krognar made it a little bit funky. But I think it was kind of fun. It's an interesting format, and it was very fun to play Judgment in a way that is different than the 3v3, 5v5 kind of stuff that we've been playing for, you know, those of us that have had models or playing on Vassal, you know, been playing for a while.
Yep.
Any, final thoughts on the 2v2 team game?
I mean, it was one of those things that I was very happy that we got to do that, because unfortunately, with the rest of the weekend, I didn't spend a lot of time doing the extra gaming event style stuff, just because I was there to enjoy myself and hang out with people and really get to talk with people that, you know, other than on Discord, I get to talk with them once a year, maybe. So I really got to, I really spent some time really relaxing and just enjoying that myself, but I got to say that team game really made me start looking at things from a different perspective, especially when being on the team that was on the left and right side of the map, not the normal sides that you set up on.
Yeah, that had to be a little bit like jarring.
It was definitely really jarring, and it was something that I was like, oh, okay. So I started looking at the map from a different angle, which was something that was really cool, and I wanted to bring that up. So if you're going to play that style of game, I definitely recommend, if you're used to seeing the maps from the top and bottom, like most of us are, challenge yourself to play as the team on the left and the right instead, because it forces that.
Yeah, it was just kind of, it would have to be funky, because I think we play on, like, it's one of the terrains, like, I forget what the Vassal map is. But it is like one of the base terrain, and then it's what was it? Shrine dead center, the two soul pits.
Yep.
And then the two monsters.
So yeah, it was basically think like a giant X, right? Because it was the shrine in the middle, like you're talking about, and then it was to the basically to where your normal monsters are, or not, sorry, not normal monsters, normal players are top and bottom. You had a monster on the right, on the bottom, and then a monster on the... It was a monster.
Yeah, it's essentially an ad.
Sorry, it was like I had to think about it. I was like, yeah, monster on the bottom right, monster on the top left, soul pit top right, and soul pit
it's
bottom.
Left. Yeah, it's next with the with all the stuff, and then it's like the kind of current maps where there's like zero terrain in the middle.
Yep.
So it's like we were kind of joking that the shrine's like a death shrine because whoever goes there, like you're literally in the middle.
Well, it can especially get hit
from any which way.
Especially for us, because we both rolled. We ended up rolling double Vujasha on that map.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Also didn't help. Yeah, there was a lot of bouncing him around, but yeah, it was fun. It definitely feels a lot more beer and pretzel-y than normal judge, because like there's just too much shit going on to really.
Yeah.
I think try to take it to hyper competitive, and I think putting it on a clock would.
Yeah.
Help some of the speed of it quite a bit, which it's supposed to be, I think, you know, probably the intent is you can play it competitively for an event. But at the same time, like it feels a bit more casual and then, you know, it feels weird playing a more casual version on a clock, but it almost feels like it kind of needs it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But like you said, I don't think death clock's what it needs. I think it just needs an activation clock.
Yeah. Like a couple minute
per
activation thing where you can kind of like, all right, give, you know, a little bit of thinking, you know, some quick discussion, and then you kind of got to go.
Yeah,
because otherwise you're just the game would never, will never
correct end. So well, I don't have much else to say about the multiplayer game. With that,
I don't either.
Let's get right into the first event, which was Friday's event, which was Threes.
Yeah, so Threes event, we had 9 players. So which is I was awesome. Playing. It was good. I think we've done. I mean, Threes usually tends to have a bit less, at least in some of the cons for a couple of reasons. It tends to be, at least at LVO, AdeptCon, and this, it was like the first event. And it tends to be on like, you know, AdeptCon, I believe it was on Thursday. And then, you know, this was on the Friday. The Fives tends to be on the Saturday, which is if you're not going to go to the con the whole time, obviously people, it's a bit more likely, you know, you're on the Saturday versus the, you know, Friday or Thursday.
Yep.
So yeah, we had 9 players, which is pretty solid for us. We had quite a few of the Discord regulars were playing in it. And you played in it.
I did.
And yeah, you played Krognar. And
I
what did you bring for a warband?
So I brought Yorgoth, Styx, Rakir, Lugdrug, Nias. It was definitely a warband that I'm not going to say I threw it together last minute, but I was definitely playing with it here and there with some different stuff. But obviously, this was our first event where we got to play Yorgoth and Styx. And so I was like, I want to run both of them. Let's go.
Not a bad idea.
So
outside of the throwing it together, do you have any kind of like thought process or strategy overall with the warband when you put it together? Or so, is it more like, I want to play these two things and these other things just kind of work with them?
Well, it was very much so. I was like, okay, I know I want to play Yorgoth and Styx. And I was like, who do they both belong to, right? And it was Yorgoth's Gruul and Krognar, Styx's Torn and Krognar. So I was like, well, the common god there is Krognar.
Yeah.
So let's just stick with that right off the bat. Who else do I like or that I can play with that functions well within this? And my first grab was immediately Lugdrug because, like, Lugdrug's one of those guys that, as your only defender in fives, sometimes he'll catch a ban. But in threes, he's less likely to because if you bring more dangerous stuff, usually that's going to catch a ban.
Because
you and I know as players, threes tends to be you have less tools to work with, so the dangerous stuff tends to get banned a little more.
Yeah.
And then I was really debating, like I grabbed Rakir because I was like, okay, If I have Yorgath and he gets banned, I want a source of damage. And Rakir is that damage. And I was like, if Rakir gets banned, I still have Yorgath. So I still get to play with the damage dealer no matter what.
Yeah.
And then it was very simply a who works well with Rakir. And as much as I wanted to bring like Zarin, who is the avatar, I was like, Nias works better because she can spread poison easier.
So. Yeah, and she's a little bit less hit or miss, right? Like she's, yeah. You know, edgy five, so she mm-hmm. and she can heal, so she kind of be like a weird like off tank, and can be a bit of a
yep.
a bit of a problem to deal with on occasion.
Yep, and if she gets lucky and you get that first soul on her, right, or you even get the first level by giving her the monster kill, which sometimes you have to do on accident. It's one of those things that her going up to Agi 6 or going up to, you know, Melee 8 even, or even Soul Harvest 7, she just becomes a problem child then.
Yeah, she really does.
So
and that, that's kind of where AoE poison spread can be good too.
And what?
And the AoE, the poison cloud.
Right, the poison cloud.
To get multiple poisons.
Yeah, so I mean, that was kind of my thought, is if somebody let me have Rakir, then Nias becomes a, you know, she actually goes into the list really well. If somebody doesn't let me have Rakir, then I can play Yorgoth Styx Lugdrug, which is still a good combo in my opinion. Or I have that ability to even drop Styx at that point and still bring Nias if I want to fight the Soul Gazing battle. So it was just a good flexible list for me. I'll be honest. I also, like I've talked in the past, I don't play threes as competitive as I know some people do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm way more willing to bring like really weird, random looking warbands and stuff, as you saw at Adepticon with my Tauren list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, as a joke, you're like, play Tauren. I'm like, all right. So I don't mind throwing together weird stuff for threes, because to me, threes is that, and I'm going to say friendly event, but that's not exactly what I mean. It's more, it's an event that I don't take the competitiveness to it like I do with fives, right?
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So, and then you obviously were judging, right? Yep. So you got to play as our Buybuster.
Correct. Yeah, I know. And Nick actually got brought up in the Discord. I think it was Sonny. He's like, you don't play in events where you're judging? I'm like, I mean, there was prize support and stuff. And I feel like to eliminate any semblance of any, you know, foul play, which most people I don't think would have a problem with. But I don't know. I just don't want that to even be a risk.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very reasonable thing.
Yeah, especially once we get into, you know, doing invitational stuff in points qualifiers and some of that.
Yep.
It feels probably not great to play in your own event.
Mm-hmm. No, I 100% agree with
that,
you.
So it's more of a, I just want to eliminate any possibility of anyone thinking that there's, you know, anything underhanded going on with that. So, so I don't typically play in events. But what I do play is I play as a Buybuster. So this event had an odd number of people. So I decided to throw something together to just, you know, play whoever's on the buy. And, you know, if they don't want to play and take a break, they're, you know, they were more than welcome to. But I'm pretty sure I played every round.
You did.
I think for the buys. So I just threw some, you know, something gruel together. So I grabbed a Yorgoth because I did get a sweet, you know, a sweet proxy because I didn't have Yorgoth, even though he got released there. And he was all painted up and ready to go. So I'm like, okay, I'll grab Yorgoth. Grab Thorgar because it's Thorgar. And then Lori, Bella, Dhonargar, and Piper.
Yep.
Pretty reasonable warband, I think. Lot of coverage. If you get Don banned, you can kind of use Piper to be like the annoying pseudo tank. Then you get to play Lori Bella, and Lori Bella is Lori Bella.
Yep.
But spoiler, she was banned every round. And then Yorgoth and Thorgar. I was pretty underwhelmed with Yorgoth in threes. I think whenever I wasn't going first, I dropped him. because I felt like if I couldn't guarantee him a level, he wasn't worth putting on the table. So it was a lot of Thorgar, Dhonargar, and Piper, and then Piper can just do lots of Piper-y things. So I think I actually won all three of my Buy-Buster games, if I remember right, because I remember I beat Gamer Dad.
And he was your first round.
He was first round, and he was also playing Gruul, so it was a Gruul mirror match. And I was joking that I was the training montage because he went on to win the threes event playing Gruul. So I thought that was, you know, a little funny. You know, had to train him up in the ways.
I'm gonna make an old man joke here at this point. And you know, Rocky had to train Adonis. So yeah, I mean, makes total sense here.
And then second bye, I think I played against JT. I'm trying to remember. Let me bring it up real quick. Round two. Yeah, I played against JT. He was playing, I think, Ista or something.
Probably.
And then third round, I think I actually played my brother, if I remember right. My brother had the bye, so I played him. Someone that I play all the time. And I was like, do you really want to play again? Like, it was essentially, we decided to cut the top table for that too. We had two 3-0s to play. So I don't think anyone else played. I kind of gave people the option if they wanted to, but we were just going to cut to top table because it just made the most sense.
Yeah.
So it was Gamer Dad versus Jeff on the final table. So it was Gruul versus Krognar, and Gruul pulled it out. So I know Gamer Dad was doing a lot of brutal things with the Drogoth with Staff of Gruul. I think like one of the rounds he like leaped his Drogoth onto the effigy and just punched it four times or something and did a whole bunch of damage to it to finish one game.
Yep.
So kind of fun. I mean, high mobility in threes is strong, and the map is small, so it doesn't take much. And then obviously with the two hex reach. So it was good to see, you know, Gruul pull it out, even if it wasn't me doing it. Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of general thoughts on any of your games or...
I'm honestly trying to remember, who I played. From the threes? No, I'm trying to remember who I played in those. I want to say that I lost. I think my first round I actually played Robbie.
First round was you versus Robbie. It was 4-3, so must have been pretty close.
It was definitely a close game. Robbie and I both playing it, and we were both just looking at the game, going, "This is a hell of a." You know, knuckle buster of a game, because we were both just, things were going right in different directions for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't remember how it finished out exactly, but it was one of those that, like, I like sitting down and playing against Robbie, because every time I play against that dude, there's something that I figure out, there's something more that I learn or see, and it's just one of those things that every game against him is a tough strategic learning game for me.
Yeah.
And it makes me a better player. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who the hell I played round two.
William O'Daniel, HPP on the thing.
Okay. Not a name I recognize.
Yeah, I was not as familiar with. But yeah, I think he was a newer-ish player, at least from my understanding.
Okay. And like I said, it's not that I don't remember because they weren't a good opponent or anything like that. It's that my memory is crap. I admit this.
Yeah.
And because I literally was like, who did I play first round even, right? So, mm-hmm. And then I think my third round was against Gamer Dad.
Third round was against Gamer Dad, yep.
Like, that game was another one that it was really, really close. I know I pushed him into on the back foot really early on and messed him up. And then we both ended up with three souls. And he ended up being able to sneak a Drogoth with a walk and a leap and a walk. And then being able to two swing into my effigy.
Yeah, Drogoth with staff can cover a lot of ground pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's
something that, I'll be honest, didn't make me very happy about.
Yeah.
it, like I said, it's not that it was a bad game or anything like that. It's just one of those things that sometimes the effigy kills leave a sour taste in my mouth. Personally, yeah. I understand why they're in the game, but there are some things that I think could still use, especially like in threes, for example, could use a little bit of work. Mm-hmm. And so that's something like we immediately started talking after the whole threes event was over, and immediately was like, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And so he and I had a good, really good conversation on it. And it's stuff that I hope that he takes back to, you know, the playtesting group and kind of talks about it a little bit with. Whether anything comes of it or not, that's fine. But I hope it goes back to the playtesting group and at least gets heard out, right? But overall, all my games were good, even though I went 1-2. I was not disappointed at all with that, because I got to play with some kick-ass models, and Gamer Dad was cool and let me use his sticks that he had pre-built and painted. So that's how I got to have a painted sticks at the con already, which was awesome to do. So again, thank you to him for letting me do that, which was fantastic.
Nice. Yeah. So that was,
That was a good way for me to start the weekend.
Yeah. So it was good. So yeah, threes event was good. We did some, fuzzies for dinner.
Yeah. So, and our top three players for that were Gamer Dad was first. And then I think Coonerbus took.
So yeah, it was.
You have the rating.
Yeah, I've got them up. So Gamer Dad was first. Jeff took second because it was a final table. And then Coonerbus was third because he was 2-1. And then JT was also 2-1, but it had less souls. So
makes sense.
So yeah, Coonerbus took third. You were fifth, but you know, you technically. Well, you dropped, but didn't really drop because of how the
right.
We ended up going to a final table.
Right.
So yeah, wasn't the greatest showing for my co-host.
No, it wasn't.
But redemption. But redemption is coming.
Redemption is coming.
Yeah. So that was Friday's event, and then Friday night we did a fuzzies with the group.
Yeah, we did fuzzies.
So that was fun to.
I gotta admit,
quite a few people with us.
Yeah, doing that fuzzies dinner was so fun because I mean, we had you, your brother, me, Coonerbus. I think we had Robbie, Gamer Dad, and Simon. Right.
Yeah.
That was just. It was a blast being able to sit down and just hang around with people, and really just talk. And not just talk about just you know Judgment, right? But we just talked about life in general. It was fun.
Yeah, it was good times. It was fun to have conversations, especially with Simon. You know, talking about some you know thoughts and some of the you know ideas he's got for the future. Because it does seem that he will be more involved with Judgment going forward, especially with some of the community stuff. So I don't know how super official that was, but he's going to be kind of handling at least. From my understanding, a bit more the communications and stuff. So, it's good to kind of chat with him and see what his thoughts are, and you know, give him feedback of you know things that we're looking for, and it's fuzzies, man. Fuzzies is always you know a good time.
Fuzzies is always a good time. I know Robbie, while we were there a couple of times, grabbed a couple margaritas. You know,
yeah, I had a couple of beers.
You had a couple beers. I had a couple beers. Yeah. Like, it was just good adult fun having to just sit around and bullshit, right?
Yeah.
It was so good. So then after we had fuzzies, we went back the convention, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people were building models. No, Simon brought down. He had, like, a lamp and stuff. He had a very big.
Simon took a freaking like 2-foot by 4-foot table and was like, "This is my space," and just started building on
it. And he had like a lamp and stuff. I thought it was a little funny to me, but you know, these hobby folks are hobby folks.
Hey, I think it was fantastic as a hobby folk myself. Yeah. Like I looked at it and went, "All right, I can get behind this." And I know like your brother started building some stuff.
Yeah, he was building some. I think you were building some stuff. I mean, Gamer Dad, I think, was building some stuff.
Gamer Dad was building some stuff. Like, I was was just sitting around chilling.
Yeah. And then ever the guy to get games in, Coonerbus like, hey, you want to play a game? I'm like, yeah, why not? Like, so I think we were playing I'm trying to remember what Warband I even played. Oh, I was playing some ISTA stuff I've been testing.
Yeah, you were playing... Yeah, we can't call it what ISTA. You officially called it there.
I don't even remember what I called it there.
Which is why I'm not going to bring it up at this point.
I honestly don't remember. But I probably had some nicknames for it.
You had a nickname for it. And we're not going to say it on the podcast here because it defames your favorite god. So we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But you were trying some ISTA.
Yeah, I was doing some ISTA. I think it was Minotaur and Dwarf Heavy, if I remember that. I think it was like Dondragar, Thrommel, Isabel, Thorgar, Brock, Loribella. I feel like I'm missing something. Astariel, maybe? Probably Astariel for the last slot.
I can see that.
I'm pretty high on Astariel lately. So yeah, so played a game. Had a couple more beers and then, finished the first game. We're just kind of hanging out and Kurt was like, hey, man, you want to play another one? I was like, well, yeah, none of these guys want to play. So like, why not?
I want it noted. Nobody came down and asked me.
I thought we asked people if they wanted, but like people seem pretty intent on building models. So
I'm just going to say nobody asked me directly. And when I'm like involved in conversation and stuff like I was, right. You know how I am, man. I zone in and I stay there.
Yeah.
So like if you guys did ask down the table, anybody else, I wouldn't even have heard it. So.
Yeah. So it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, is what it is. And so like Goomer's like, all right, like let's rack up, re-rack, because he's playing Tomas like he always does.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, like let's play again, because I think we both kind of wanted to test the Tomas and ISTA matchup with the new changes to the effigy power.
Makes sense.
We thought that would be like, okay, the change got through there. I don't think there's been a huge amount of games since the patch hit,
right?
Because we're not really like the league's done. I don't think we've started the new one yet.
The league is almost done. We are the monthly league. We are waiting on Coonerbus and Guns to play the final. And I know GD and I have our match that we're going to play sometime this week.
Okay. So yeah, it was one of those where, we weren't quite sure. So like, let's just try it out. Let's play. So
yeah,
rack up the other one and yeah, a funny thing happened.
Yeah.
At this point of the night. I get a phone call. And the phone call's my wife. And my wife was pregnant. And we were planned to have our baby on the 30th of November. So I went to work for a weekend thinking, clearly, got a month, essentially. We're good to go.
Well, there's your first and problem. You were thinking.
Yeah. The wife calls and basically says, you need to get home. And I didn't quite believe her at first. I was slightly in shock. And I was also like, she's fucking with me.
Right.
And then, no, she said, I needed to get home. Yep. That they, like, she was going to have the kid in the morning. And it is about 12:30 a.m. on Saturday at this point, by the way.
Yeah. This is the more important part here is this is 12:30 in the morning that he is getting this phone call.
Yeah, getting this phone call. So yeah, I'm like, okay. First I was like, shit. And then like I start to panic.
Yep.
And I think I start to panic, and then I look over to like you and my brother and like
so
you were I think one of you is very confused, and I'm like, oh, I have to go.
Oh, no. So what I love is you get hung up on the phone, and we are both sitting up there. Matt and I are talking along with Simon, and and you look over, and you're like, hey, Matt, I got to go.
Yeah.
And so once again, so everybody understands, Matt and Wonky drove down together.
Yeah, so my brother... Yeah,
so they're in the same car. So he says this, and both of us look at each other Because my first thought is, what do you mean you got to go? You got to go throw up? You're a seasoned drinker. Why are you telling us this? Right?
Yeah.
And that's immediately my thought. And I see Matt look over at you and go, what do you mean? And you look at him and you go, no, Matt, I got to go now. And that was the thing that immediately struck it for like me was that I got to go now. And I remember just looking across the table and I went, ah, baby's coming.
So then starts a bit of a mad scramble, and then kind of like took a few minutes. I'm like, okay, let me just like pause and not like go too nuts here.
Yep.
And basically kind of figured out that I was going to leave some stuff there to run the event. Because we were using some of mine and my brother's mats and terrain and whatnot.
Yep.
And some of that stuff, and like add the laser cut proxies for monsters and all that stuff. So I'm like, okay, we're going to leave that stuff here.
Yep.
So you guys can run the fives event, but like, we got to go.
Yep.
So.
Cause I remember we walked you over to the table and we're like, all right, Dave, pack your models.
Yep. I packed up my models because I'm like, okay, I'm not going to leave those here. We're going to, figure out what stuff we got to leave to run the fives event. So you guys still have enough materials. Cause, for those that don't know, the tournament kit did get sent back to Creature Caster that they had loaned out, so we had to come together to scrounge up materials to run the event. So,
but we did,
and that's the important part. And I think I know that there's been some steps that are going to be taken to prevent problems like this in the future. One of those steps is I'm actually building my own tournament kit.
So
Matt's by Mars. With some playtesting we did on Friday, is actually creating a mat that is playable as both threes and fives. So you can have a single mat and you can play either one by the way that they just denote the boundaries of threes on top of the fives mat.
Yep.
And I ordered four of those.
Yep.
I believe it was four. And then I think my brother grabbed one, and then I've got two other fives mats, and then I had another mat by Mars mat fives mat that I won from Sudsman Day.
Nice.
So at this point, between me and my brother, we have enough clocks and mats to run essentially, I think, like eight tables now or something.
Look, I'm working on getting there, okay? Five, it takes time.
Yeah. I know it does. So I've got six. Yeah, I've got six mats. My brother now has two fives mats. So we have eight mats. My brother has clocks from when he used to run events for War Machine.
Right.
And then basically right now we're working on terrain. Mm-hmm. So like I've got a set of 3D printed terrain. I've got a set of 2D terrain. I've got the prototype terrain with the cardboard terrain. So like I think I can do three tables worth of terrain.
Nice.
And I'm looking at a couple of solutions to make some more 2D terrain myself.
Makes
because
sense.
Because again, the idea is like between, me and my brother stuff, I can very easily borrow. I want to be able to run like an eight table event.
Right.
Which is not super far off. And then obviously monsters, but monsters are always things. So,
speaking of the Mats by Mars, I saw a final product that he showed up with on Sunday. It also has in the corner of it the list for the actual communion phase. The walkthrough.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, nice. Well, you were gone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the ones I ordered did not have that.
Right.
So
it
I might not have that.
Another
on the
person
ones I
made
ordered.
As a suggestion. And so then he showed up on Sunday and I was like, hey, those were really cool. Thank you for doing that. And he's like, you want to see something cooler? I was like, yeah. And he pulls one out and it has that on. I was like,
yeah.
That is what I wanted right there.
Yeah. He, I think his name is Alex. I talked with him. The guy was fantastic. So random aside there, but we need to figure out like, oh shit, like need to get back. So,
cause fun fact, Dave's 5.5 hours away from his wife at this point.
Yeah. So that's also the thing. So I live, about 20-ish minutes northwest of Milwaukee. So basically we pack up the room. Probably the fastest I've ever packed up a hotel room. But granted, we travel relatively light. Like I had a duffel bag plus gaming stuff, and a bunch of my gaming stuff was being, left for people to use. So like we had a cooler, we each had a duffel bag, we each had like my brother's got his bin with models, I've got my one battle foam bag. So it's pretty quick. So I think we did like two trips out of the room, packed up the car. I get to the front desk and I'm like, I need to check out. And the person looks at me funky because it's at this point
1 a.m.
12:30-ish, quarter to 1 a.m. or whatever. And I was like, no, like I need to check out, like my child is coming and I need to get home. And then she still looks like, would you like, okay, like why are you at a hotel if your wife was like, you know, like confused. Yeah. I'm like, and then she kind of like gets it and like, oh, congratulations, and let me like check you out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I think in about a span of, and then and thinking about a span of less than 30 minutes from the time I get the call to making sure you guys have stuff to run the event,
yep,
to like loading our car and checking out, like we're on the road.
Yeah.
And then my brother's like, I have a fair amount of gas, but I don't know how far we'll get and what we've got for gas. And for those that don't know their geography well, when you drive from St. Louis to Milwaukee, you drive through Illinois. And for those that don't know, essentially, once you get outside Chicago and Illinois, there's not a whole lot. Yep. There are a couple of big towns slash cities like Champaign and whatnot, but like a vast majority of it is like farmland, just flat farmland. And I'm like, you know, we better gas up now because knowing our luck, if we don't,
yep. Nope.
We're going to run chances. Out of gas in the middle of bumfuck nowhere, Illinois.
Yep.
With like, and then obviously it's late at night. So like no one else is going to be on the road. So yep. We're like, okay, let's just get gas.
And your wife would have been pissed.
Yeah. And then what's funny is, so my brother's filling the gas tank. And then my brother-in-law calls.
Yeah.
And, like, he calls. And it's almost like he doesn't think I know yet.
Right.
Like, really? Like, the wife's not going to clearly call me first of all the people to inform me of the situation? Like, it was just, like, the funniest way that he called. I'm just like... I'm aware of the situation. So, my brother drove us back to Milwaukee,
which,
straight through.
Once again, big props. I think your brother gets, Uncle of the Year, Godfather of the Year, whatever you want to call it. Mad props to you, Matt.
Yeah, and I can't imagine that it was an easy drive. And, like, I offered to drive a couple of times. He said no. I'm sure it was a rough drive for him to do. Like, I've done some late night driving like that after, you know, doing shit and stuff. And it's like, yeah, it's brutal. Like, staying awake is rough. And then, like, this is a long drive.
Well, and not to mention, then, you guys had been up since what, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock?
Something like that. Yeah. I think we were up at like 8 a.m. to like get up and set up the event. And, like, my brother wanted to, you know, run to the vendor hall before threes and stuff. So, like, yeah, my brother had been up since, like, basically, like, 8, I think we'd been up, roughly.
Yeah.
So it's now, you know, we're driving through the night. And, so we're going and, like, and I asked, you know, I was trying to stay awake to help him stay awake.
Right.
Because my thought was, like, okay, if I can stay awake, I can try and keep him awake. Because, like.
Yeah.
The worst thing that could happen is like he falls asleep driving
because
We've been up for, you know, a long fucking time.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, I'm good. And then so I end up actually getting like, I don't know, maybe like an hour and a half nap in the car.
Okay.
Because I'm aware that like when he gets home, he gets to go to sleep.
You don't.
When I get home, I do not get to do that.
Correct.
So we get to my brother's. And then, so my brother lives like southwest of Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
and it's like about a 20 to 25 minute drive from his house to my house. And I'm like probably like 5 minutes to the hospital. So roughly the same. So then we get to his house. And then I like throw my duffel bag, my models in the car, and then I'm, you know,
gone. You're gone.
Yeah. And yeah, so I end up getting to the hospital. And yeah, I made it with like, I think like 45 minutes to spare.
That's great to hear.
So yeah. So then, we had our baby girl Stella Yeah, she's doing good. She was a bit early, so she's still at the hospital right now.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we were originally supposed to be in December.
Yep.
And then it got bumped up. We were going to plan to have her on the 30th. And then, obviously,
she Warfare, had other ideas.
She had other ideas. So Warfare Weekend, you know, was 4 weeks before that. So I thought I was very in the clear. No, I was not. So, yeah, that was fun. Fun little adventure. I did check. Her birthday does not fall on Warfare Weekend for next year.
Awesome.
So we're good.
Fantastic.
How it goes for future Warfare Weekends, I'm not sure. But yeah, I one of the first things I did when I was got back on the Discord, you know, was kind of seeing posts and stuff and updating people. I'm like, I wonder if her birthday is going to fall on Warfare Weekend next year. And it does not. So her birthday, it must be on Monday, because I think Warfare goes to the 3rd next year.
Okay.
So I just kind of chuckled about that a little bit, because obviously that might impact Warfare Weekend trips in the future, or we'll just have to celebrate it, the birthday party, not on the day. I don't know if that makes me a terrible dad or not. We'll see.
We'll see
what ends up happening.
It depends. But what I really say is that just means you have a daughter to get involved in your miniatures hobby and gaming. And you bring her with.
Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, it definitely was something that I was kind of like, I was kind of joking about it, because I'm like, shit, am I ever going to like get to do another Warfare Weekend? Because I love going to Warfare Weekend.
Right.
And then yeah, I'm like, okay, it's at least next year I'm safe.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And you and I both know your wife would not let you hear the end of it if you missed your daughter's first birthday.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't go over so well. So yeah.
Yeah.
That was my eventful Friday night into Saturday morning. Baby and my wife are both doing really good.
Which of course is good to hear. And I got to admit, man, I was very worried for you guys, because I knew that you know, I figured Matt was going to drive the whole way.
Yeah.
But I was very worried that you guys about making it home. And then on top of making it home, I was really actually worried about you making it home in time. Right. And so it was very relieving when I woke up at like, I think I woke up at like 6, and I think
you ended up. You messaged me pretty early, and I was like, man, he is up early right now.
Uh-huh. So. Well, I wanted to make sure, because lo and behold, you know, Wonky leaving in the middle of the night left us tournament organizer lists. And so immediately, like, the first thing we did, we saw Gonzo walking around. I got a hold of Gonzo and I was like, hey, man, so you're aware Dave's leaving because his child is about to be born.
No, I think he was in the room.
He was when we like, were packing he up. Ended up walking like, in while you were kind of packing everything up. And I started explaining to him. I was like, hey, you know, he's leaving. I'm going to run the event here at the deal, right? Yeah. Obviously, some mad shout outs to, I think it was Sonny, who got a hold of the person we needed to make it so Gamer Dad could.
Because, yeah, I didn't throw someone on as
a
organizer or whatever.
And it was something that I was like, I'm not even going to bug Wonky about this. If I have to, I'll write all the listings down. I'll do it all physical.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing, too, like, worst case, like, what you could do in that scenario is you could do just make a new event.
That's what Gamer Dad was going to do, and then he was able to get a hold of Sonny.
Okay.
So we got it all set up to where Gamer Dad could enter everything on Longshanks, which really made it easy for us. But yeah, I mean, I gotta say mad shout out to Gonzo for being flexible and working with us, right? But also to Gamer Dad and Robbie for being there, or to help with if there were any judge calls or anything. That way it very easily was a cool. If I had a judge call, Robbie or Gamer Dad could get up and come do it. If one of them had a judge call, I could get up and go do it. Right.
Yeah.
Because I also was going to do the same thing that you did in the threes, where I was going to recluse myself from the event and just be like, cool, I'm TOing now. I'm not going to play.
Yeah.
Because like you said, there's always some prize support on the line. There's stuff like that. And I don't ever want it to be something that's thought of as like we're, you know, it's being rigged in some way, shape, or form. at all. So I was like, cool, I'm going to recluse myself from the event. And after talking with everybody, because without me, it was going to be seven.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, no, dude, it's cool. We've got enough people here. Just play in the event. So we have eight. And I was like, you guys positive on that? They're like, yep, go ahead and play. I was like, okay. So obviously that leads us right into the fives event. So we got that going, yep. And we had eight people show up for that. Two of which were, I've never seen them before. Brand new players. Apparently they had played a little bit on their own, but this was like their first, you know, actual event. So it was cool to see them.
Yeah, I think James, if it's the James I'm thinking of, plays out of Chicago.
Okay.
I'm not 100% because I don't know his last name, but he's pretty. So, like, Chicago area gaming has their own Discord.
Okay.
For different games and whatnot, and he's pretty active on there. If it's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
But yeah, they've got a pretty solid group of players down in Chicago, and it sounds like they've actually been picking up a couple of players lately.
Good.
So it's nice to see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. Yeah, Chicago's been picking up, which is good, because obviously, like, when we run events, or they run events, it's not a terrible drive.
Right.
Between Chicago and Milwaukee, depending on where the store is, and so it's like an hour and a half or so. So
yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I think it was him, and I think the other newer guy was Matt.
Yes.
Matt Means, it looks like.
Yeah, Matt Means.
And he's also an Illinois player, according to the home location on there. So he must be I'm kind of assuming probably also a Chicago area gamer, because there are a lot of minis gamers in Chicago.
Yeah.
And Chicago is also a huge city. So it's
I gotta say, both those guys, super, super nice. It was super cool to see them come out. And they both, you know, were very open to, hey, this is still a tournament. People are going to play competitive.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a thing. And we're like, okay, cool. As long as you guys understand that, you know, nobody here is being mean, obviously.
Yeah.
We're just going to play to win, right? And so, like, they were really cool about it. I enjoyed talking with them. Spent a little bit of time with Matt, because Matt was my first round opponent.
Okay.
And after we played our game, I walked him through. I was like, hey, so here's a couple of different things you could do in the future with your... Because he was playing Bruellen. I was like, here's a couple of things that you did that if you don't do them and you do this instead, might help improve your play with this, right?
Okay.
Like, his big thing against me was he spread out a little bit much. And so when I was playing my Tomas Warband, which we're going to cover here in just a couple seconds, basically I was able to pick him apart one model at a time.
Yeah.
And then because I was able to pick him apart one model at a time, I was able to also go after a couple of soul harvests. So that ended up giving me the game. And I was like, hey, if you're going to play Bruellen, play as a pack, right?
Yeah.
Bring a pack of dudes. And when you go in, you just decide you're committing and you commit with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he took that and played in his second round against his buddy, because they got paired up in round two.
Okay.
And after the game was over, he came up to me and was like, hey, man, I took your advice. It really helped out. Thanks. And I was like, cool. Little tips work.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So let's get it. So so I was clearly gone at this point. I was in hospital with baby at this point. So
you were clearly attending a more important event.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So. What was your warband for the Fives event?
So my warband for the Fives event was Tomas as a god, with Fazil, Rakir, Masuzi, Marcus, Donregar, Maltik, and Styx.
Okay. Seems like a pretty standard-ish Tomas warband. It feels like a lot of Tomas warbands essentially start with, like, Fazil, Rakir, Masuzi. And then usually Marcus, because how he pairs with diamond armor and the setup he has, where, like, it definitely feels a lot of Tomas warbands are falling into that pattern.
Yep.
And it's, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but it's a strong, like, it's a strong core of a list for Tomas. I don't know what would really cause someone to ever get away from it, like those four. And then, yeah, the Donor Guard, Multic Sticks. I mean, Sticks, I know you were going to play because you're a big fan.
Yeah.
Donor Guard's seeing quite a bit of play, even outside of God. Mm-hmm. And then the Multic pick is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It's not one we see a whole lot.
No. So I ended up taking her partially at, like, she was one I was thinking about because I remember we talked about it prior to Warfare Weekend in one of our podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I ended up sticking with her over Ashel, because when I playtested the list a couple of times, I found against Bruellen, she was actually just like a massive benefit to have.
The pin combat maneuver? Well, without spending fate?
Not just the pin combat maneuver and things like that, but because she attacks Soul Harvest values, mm-hmm. Bruellen brings so many low Soul Harvest value characters. That
is very true.
She's one model that if you let her come into the game, she can be very, very deadly.
Okay.
And I actually, it came up twice randomly. So Matt Means, like I said, in my first round, he was playing Bruellen. I got to use a Multic to basically three shot Azonia.
That's kind of nice.
Yep. And then the following turn, I got to walk up and I got to do a two shot onto a Drelgoth.
Okay.
So, like, she played out really, really well, but I was able to play more of that back line style game that I wanted to with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I explained to Matt, like, I went through and I explained each of the models to Matt and what they did. And Matt's first band was Fazeel. He was like, nope, you don't get to play with Fazeel.
Yeah, Fazeel. Even a new player can see that.
Yeah, yeah. And
Fazeel's a thing.
Well, and so, like, even there, Tomas, when he banned Fazeel, I was like, okay, that's cool. Here's what she does, right? And yeah. I went through and explained to him. I was like, here's what Styx does. Here's what she does. So on and so forth. And I was like, if you want, you can choose to ban her instead if you want, right? I wasn't gonna like make him stick because I wanted to make sure he knew what she did since he'd never seen her before. And even after that, he was like, nope, I still don't want to play against Fazeel. All right, sounds good. You've made your choice.
Yeah.
So then played that game with him. He played a good game. Just obviously one of those things that I have more reps than he does.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So it was one of those things that happened. Second round, I ended up playing JT, and JT was playing an Ista warband, and that game went so odd because we both ended up basically interacting so little in that game. I don't remember which map it was, but it was like the one that had the tier 4 in the middle. Two soul pits on the left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And then a shrine just beyond the... It was the one that had the forest creeping in from the left, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And so basically, like, I had to use four of my five models or five of my models to kill a Vujasha in the first monster turn.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
It was so bad. So epically bad.
Vujashas can do that, though.
Oh, they absolutely can.
The, like, Agi 5, if you don't have some kind of, like, setup or something to help, like, give you more dice, she can be real, real rough.
To give you an idea of what I mean by this, I went through everybody, and Donnie, who I set on the right side of the effigy, who was initially going to go for my shrine, Donnie had to instead walk around the effigy and charge her to get the kill. Donnie got my first level.
I actually, I've had a couple of games where he starts getting some levels and man, he gets kind of wild.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just, it wasn't part of the plan, right?
Yeah, it wasn't the plan.
The plan was get Fazeel or Misuzi the level and no, not happening. It was like, oh, okay, that's the style of game. This is cool. Well, the soul ended up spawning on my side. So then the second soul spawned over there. And JT and I both did like multiple soul harvests. And then he ended up throwing like his Alandir over towards me. Okay. And taking a couple shots, and I don't remember who he took a couple shots into, but he took a couple shots into somebody. And I was like, okay, that's fine, cool. And then I walked a Donnie over to him. Okay. Like, a couple turns in, my Donnie and Maltique were, like, holding his shrine and stuff. And I ended up just walking Donnie over to him. I was like, cool, stone form, stone grasp, let's go.
Yeah. Alandir doesn't like that.
No, and Alandir doesn't like that. But, like, the biggest turning point was that he had a Brock
mm-hmm.
who turned two charged the Terra, I think. Or turn one charged it, didn't kill it, okay. But pushed away. And then Terra chucked a rock and crit Brock.
Ooh, yeah, it's the crit for seven can do a lot of damage from Terra. Yep.
Crit and knockdown.
Ouch.
And so, literally, I got Maltique in position to where then, even though Brock killed... Terra.
Yeah.
Maltique literally walked up, shot him twice, and killed him. With some extra like damage that I had thrown out, right? But it was just one of those shot him, killed him the first time, shot him, killed him again. And was like, cool, there's another soul for me. Well then Alandir walked over and I just beat him down.
Okay.
And so it ended up being still a fairly close game, but it was just JT ended up giving me a soul or two here and there where I basically played as very cagey as I could. And I kept Fazeal away from Isabel because screw her.
Yeah. I mean, if you get her a level and go Retribution, she can brutalize.
Yeah. And he definitely got her a level... later in the game than probably should have.
Okay.
But it was one of those things, like I said, it was just a really weird game because we interacted so very little between ourselves.
Yeah, it's the tier four when it's in the middle and it's like, it's a thing you have to deal with. Like you can't just kind of let it go.
Yep.
Right? So it's, someone's going to have to deal with it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, like, yeah, it's going to take some investment. Now, obviously, if you have a Brock, it's a little bit easier of an investment than...
Yep. Or it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, so my round three opponent was Robbie. And Robbie was playing Bruellen. And Maltique made it through that pick and ban phase.
Who did he ban out of here? Did he ban the Fazeal? He banned Mazuzi. Okay, because... there's been some, depending on the map, I know, like, there's been a bit more Mazuzi bans going on. And, like, you just kind of deal with the Fazeal.
Yep.
Because, like, a Diamond Armor Mazuzi, once you get a level or two on him, it's a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Like, it really is. And Styx is also a model that can be a massive pain in the ass that, like, the Tomas right now, I feel like the Warband they just kind of tend to want to bring just always has multiple good ban targets. Yep. And, like... Fazeal always feels like a good ban target, and like if you don't want to overthink it, like he's just always worth a ban because that effigy power decapping is just, it's brutal.
Yeah.
But like with things like Styx and Mazuzi, you have these other targets that also kind of deserve a ban, and then you're like, okay, well I guess I'm gonna let the Fazeal Rakir combo through because they work very well together. And yeah, I mean, Rakir, a well-played Rakir might be one of the most frustrating things to play against in the game.
Yep. And I'm not going to say that I play a very well-played Rakir, but
yeah,
I'm not like trash with him either.
Yeah. It's just his mobility and the stuff he can do. Now, granted, in Tomas, you don't really have a second Shadow Orb person to really extend the mobility, but if you do a little bit of setup with them on the early game,
yep,
getting you know like a second orb out in a good spot, yep, where you can bounce back and do some stuff, you just feel so good. So
yep. So Robbie banned Mazuzi and I banned Cruel.
Okay, so you let the Zhonya through, hey?
I let the Zhonya through because Maltique was coming in.
That's true.
And I was like, if I get a chance and Maltique is in range to be able to, you know, blast away at that Zhonya, Maltique's going to do some work.
True.
And so I was like, okay, let's do this. And this was the three Soul Pit map.
Okay.
So it was one of those things that we both rolled for the monsters again. Mm-hmm. We had a Terra in the middle and double Vujasha.
Jeez.
And we were both like, so that's the kind of game this is going to be. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a really, really close game. But there were a couple of things that ended up happening that ended up giving me the game over Robbie. And the main one was that we had, so it was like 3-3.
Okay.
And the soul had just spawned, I'm trying to think, the soul had just spawned on my back left. Because I was mm-hmm. on the bottom, so it was on my left. And we had one over from the right soul pit already.
Yeah.
And so Vujasha was, like, closing in on his Thorgar and his side. So Robbie ended up activating first and killing her.
Okay.
Thinking that the soul was going to spawn over there. And after he killed her, we both realized that there was a soul that was still out on both of those pits.
Oh, so nothing spawned.
So nothing spawned down on his, like he was planning. And so it ended up being, I had a Styx and, I'm trying to remember who else it was, but I had like Styx and one other model over on that soul.
Yeah.
Basically ready to harvest it. And then over on that right side, I had a Rakir, a Fazeel, and I think my Maltique.
Okay.
Sitting over there basically ready to go. And so his only option was to like try to like leap and then charge with Drelgoth into a Maltique.
Okay.
Who was behind a wall to try and like do some damage into her and such.
Hmm.
And it just ended up being a bad situation to where I was able to basically get the final soul I needed by, I harvested, he couldn't get over there in enough time, and then I charged with a Fazeel and basically decapped and
yeah,
got the win. So all in all, I ended up going 3-0 and winning the event.
Nice.
So redemption, as we said earlier, was had for your co-host.
Yep.
And you know, the warband itself played wonderfully. This is definitely going to be a warband that I think I find myself playing
quite a bit
for Tomas, because it feels good and comfortable for me. And it's ironic that, like, as much as I like Sharn, I'm not even sure I actually replaced Donnie in this list now with Sharn.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as I have Styx, I have that mobility I want for Maltique.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I probably
don't necessarily need it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's, if I wanted to replace Styx, then I would replace Donnie with.
Yeah, I think that's, like, if you wanted to swap in, like, Kane, because I know Kane's pretty popular in Tomas for his monster hunting.
Yep.
So, like, if you swapped Styx for Kane,
yep,
then I think swapping Donnie for Sharn makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, but overall,
okay,
that was that. Yeah. Nice. So any other questions from you about,
no, it sounds like I had a question about Maltique, cause that's one we haven't seen a lot. And she's one I've tried her a couple of times in Gruul,
mm-hmm,
to kind of mixed results. But I think Sharn helps her a bit. So with Sharn coming, I might try. I've also just really been liking Astariel, a lot. Because just the meta now, what's interesting is Maltique kind of can handle some of that tank busting.
Yep.
Because, right, you can spend a fate at level 1 to make it all true damage. You can shred through a tank. For things like Donnie, you know, he is Soul Harvest 3, so if you get her a ring, it's five dice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, true damage, you can cut through the stuff. It doesn't bring the fire, though, which is kind of nice from Astariel.
Yeah.
But it does. She is in God, so she can benefit from the effigy power,
yeah,
which is kind of nice. So I don't know. I've been I've tried her a little bit, and like I said, I've had really, really mixed results with her.
Makes sense.
But I think Sharn can help unlock her a bit. Mm-hmm. And then she might be one I look at a bit. Because I like the Astariel Staff of Gruul with Fire kind of combo. It's kind of worked a little bit in the past. But I might try some Maltique builds in the future.
Okay.
All right. So I compiled some stats tonight. So okay. We're just going to kind of briefly talk about them. Now, granted, this was a 9-person event and an 8-person event. And I just combined 3s and 5s. I didn't differentiate it because they're two smaller events.
Sure.
Just to kind of see if we got a couple of trends. So for hero pick count, I'm not really surprised by anything. It was heavy on Lugdrug, Marcus, Rakir, and then Brock, Donergar, and Kogan. But based on the god picks, that's not that surprising. So, you know, there was a lot of Tomas and a lot of Krognar. We'll get into the god picks a little bit here in a second. But basically every Tomas and Krognar player brought Rakir, so that's why there's so many of them. I think a lot of them brought Marcus and Lugdrug. I mean, Lugdrug, I think, was in all the Tomas and Warband, or not Tomas. He was in all the Krognar. I think he was in a bunch of Bruwellen or something, too. So, like, none of these really surprised me. I think these have been pretty active, like, picks.
Yeah.
I know Donergar has been pretty common, especially out of God in a lot of places.
I think out of all of them, Kogan is the only one that slightly surprises me. And the only reason I say that is because he was touched in the latest patch, right?
True. But
it wasn't a bad touch. And that's
correct.
That's what I'm glad to see.
Part of it, too, though, is that there were 9 players playing Bruwellen and Krognar of these, 17?
Fair enough.
17, right? So
okay.
There was a lot of opportunities to take him in God, right? So that's why I think. And he was taken 5 times, so, I mean, he was about 50%. Roughly 50%. It's 5. Or wait, no, he was 6. Nope, I was looking at Draugoth. So.
It's all good, but no.
So like, he was like, taken pretty high, but I mean, it's
yeah. The reason it was surprising to me was just because I was like, usually when you see something get touched in a patch,
yeah,
usually they tend to fall off, right?
I mean, spoiler alert, it doesn't really. Like, yes, it's worse for him,
right?
But his level 2 is strong because of the reach and the RNG was very, very good, but the reach is kind of the bigger part of it.
Correct.
Because with Battlecry, he doesn't need a whole lot of dice to be very efficient on his damage output.
Correct. But that's what I mean is I'm very happy, like, I'm surprised happy to see that even with that patch,
yeah,
he is still maintaining where he was, basically, or that popularity of, hey, he's still being taken a lot because he's still really freaking good.
Yeah. Yeah, so. He's still very good. So those are kind of the high ones. The ones that we're not taking all were Abathos, Arya, Cradle, Gendry, Sankura, Sky, and Zim. Most of those have been pretty low on pick rates. Gendry is slightly surprising, but there was only a single Gruul pick out of both events.
Right.
Out of 17 warbands. So that surprised me there. I mean, Ankura's kind of been one that people haven't been a fan of for a while. Cradle's another one that really has, you know, people aren't much of a fan of. So those don't really surprise me too much. Is there anything you thought was kind of interesting or surprising on any of the heroes that were taken here?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Arya, I think, is a little surprising that we didn't see anybody bring her. But seeing that what gods were chosen, both the gods that she is a part of, if I remember correctly, basically weren't here or weren't represented in a way that was like massive like the rest of these.
Yeah.
And I honestly think she's a tricky model to play, right?
She's not the easiest model to play. That's for sure.
But I also will say that, cause I know you and I have talked about this before, with us getting some of the models we're starting to get, I'm also not super surprised about Gendrys and such having a lower representation just because that support / enhancer role is it's truly becoming a hotly contested spot.
And the big thing too, so I guess we'll just talk about the god pick rates because I think that will help give a picture.
Sure.
So of the 17 total warbands, there were 5 Bruwellen, which was number one. You had Ista and Krognar tied at 4 apiece.
Which, not Tomas, surprising.
Yeah, you had Tomas with 3. You had Grohl with only a single pick. And you had zero Torin in 3s or in 5s. So when the only Grohl pick is in 3s, I mean, Lori Bella just feels like she really outshines Gendrys. She feels a lot more impactful. She feels a lot more dangerous in the things that she can do. She's kind of pushing Gendrys out a bit. Mm-hmm. When there's only a single Grohl, like, I don't, with the changes to 2-hex, I don't know why you'd ever take her out of Grohl at this point, unless you really felt like you needed the forest or you really felt like you needed the Pathfinder. But I feel like a lot of gods either, you know, Breweland just gets Pathfinder on the charge, so doesn't care. Right. Or stuff like Ista, you have the effigy power that makes you fly. So there's ways that you can kind of work around it. And with the current maps, Pathfinder also isn't super impactful on a lot of the current maps in the rotation.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe when the maps change.
Yeah.
For the next tournament season, then maybe Pathfinder might feel a lot more impactful.
Yeah.
And then it will kind of, because she is the only one that can hand it out.
Yes.
So she might raise at that point. But yeah, it's called Enhancer now. But
yeah.
The old, like, support role, it's a pretty hot, like, hotly contested, especially now with Hoxha coming.
Right.
Like, Hoxha, like, Lori Bella, who just came out. Sticks. You know, usually Styx. You really want, people tend to want models that get benefit from whatever god they're playing. So, because she's an avatar, she's only gets some of those benefits in Grohl.
Yep.
So if I'm looking at like her or like a Hoxha, if I'm playing Ista, like I'm probably going to lean more towards a Hoxha just because
definitely.
He benefits from Ista. He can carry the potion. He benefits from the effigy power.
Yep.
So I think it'll be interesting to see as we go how some of that role shakes out in general. Because I think that's going to be kind of an interesting role to keep an eye on as we go.
I think so as well. I mean, it's, you know, it's always going to be interesting to see how defenders shake things up. I think it's always going to be interesting to see how the enhancers change things up. Because while I love aggressors, and don't get me wrong, aggressors, assassins, all those guys, they're going to slightly shift things around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of what they do with just damage and their abilities and so on. Realistically, I think the place that really tends to shake metas up and stuff, especially for something like Judgment, in my opinion, are in those enhancer roles, those defender roles, because that's going to change. Like, can you pull a model into engagement?
Mm-hmm.
Can you push a model out of engagement?
Yep.
What can you do with those things, right? That's going to change things.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be one to keep an eye on. And we'll kind of see as we get new ones, you know, as well as we go forward. But definitely just some good thoughts on that. So, yeah, I think the god picks, like Krognar and Ista being popular is not surprising. They're in the starter if we have some newer players. Breweland was a little bit surprising because I think...
Yeah.
At least on the online leagues, and even I think going back to Adeptcon, I don't think Breweland was very highly picked. It used to be incredibly popular, but then I think it kind of dropped off a bit in general.
Yeah.
So we take a look. Yeah, so if we take a look at games played on Longshanks over the last, I think it does a year.
Mm-hmm.
Breweland is second to last. Wow. Only to Grohl. So, okay. And I'm pretty sure Breweland used to be much higher. Now, granted, this only is a year. I think I can adjust the filter, but...
But either way.
But yeah, so like the highest right now is Ista and Krognar still, and then Tomas is in third, and then Torin, Breweland, then Grohl. So Breweland kind of making a comeback doesn't surprise me too much because I think it used to be pretty popular. Now that people can get models... outside the starter more readily as well. Helps with moving off the Ist on Krognar.
Yep.
But if it's something you started with and you keep playing. But the thing that's interesting here is literally no Torn.
Yeah.
Like either threes or... Which I don't think Torn particularly plays well in threes, to be honest. Just with what their champions are and the kind of things you need in threes.
Yeah.
Being a very ranged heavy focus in threes seems like it could be a pretty big detriment.
It well, I think so part I think of that also has to do with some of the map pool too, still.
Yeah.
Because I mean, one of the things I did notice in like I've noticed with the threes, right, is there's that like big ass smoke cloud or
in the dead middle in threes,
you know, a forest or something, right? And when you can just camp in there and you're like, I'm invisible, so cool, whatever. It's like, well, cool. There goes half of my ability to shoot across the board or anything like that. And so I understand that. But even in fives, not seeing Torin even once.
Yeah.
That's a little, like, it makes me kind of go, really? Not once?
And, I mean, Torin is... kind of a funky god to play. I don't think when you're newer to the game. Now, granted, not everyone in the event was newer. We had definitely some people that have been around a bit, right? You know, like yourself, Robbie, Gamer Dad, Coonerbus, definitely have all, you know, played a fair share of games.
Yep.
But yeah, I think Torn's is a bit weird to pick up. I think when you're brand new, especially if you are newer to the game, and when you're building a warband, you're just taking only champions. Because I feel like Torin is one you definitely will want to leave that champion pool.
Yeah.
Just so you can have, you know, it's very common to want to have a good, you know, melee damage dealer for doing good damage to heroes, monster hunting, etc. and Torin has none. So...
you have to be ready to go outside of God.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have some interesting builds you can do that are definitely a bit off the wall. I've seen some. There is an old warband in V1 that was basically built around not rolling dice to do damage.
Okay.
Which, yeah, it was like Skull, Zyvera, Hoxha kind of a thing where, like, the idea is you could, like, okay, you can cut Zyvera to do damage. Hoxha can equilibrium, so you're like doing a lot of damage without actually making attack rolls. So it's kind of an interesting thought. And then obviously with Torin, you know, you add up a range damage dealer or two that you can really juice up on the effigy power, and it's kind of an interesting like way to try and play.
Right.
But it does have some problems when it comes to like dealing with monsters, which is a thing that are on a lot of maps that you have to have some sort of a plan for. Right, because if you're like Skull, Zyvera, Hoxha, and then, you know, you might be leaving Bastion at home, which can give a whole lot of free healing after you call the effigy power, and the dice are nice that he provides. So then, like, you know, if you have like an Astario or Alendir, I don't know. There's some stuff to play with around in Torin there, but it is a little funky that I guess we didn't see it at all. But again, there was only 17 warbands, so it's not like we're...
Right.
It's not like we have a very like massive sample size.
Right.
But Torin has been pretty low in some of the in-person events. I think even at Adepticon, like, I know you played him in threes, but you were probably the only one.
Yeah, I was.
And then I don't remember in fives if there was many Torin players. Probably not a whole lot.
I don't think there was. So, I do want to call out one other model, though, that I was a little surprised that nobody was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Abathos.
Yeah, he's kind of interesting. So he's in what, Torn? I don't even know what he's got. He's in Torn and Tomas, I think?
No, he's in Torn and Krognar.
Torn and Krognar, okay. I mean, I guess, obviously, no Torn.
Right, no Torn. I mean, that makes that's not surprising.
Yeah. and I guess Krognar, I haven't really seen him make his way into a lot of Krognar warbands currently, but
I haven't been
playing the hugest amount of games lately, so...
Yeah, and that's fair. I haven't done it either, right? As I've been playing my Tomas warband to really get the feel for it, to try and get that, you know, going. But, like, he's one to me that, in a way, like, I think he'd be a perfect target for the Umbral Sphere.
Yeah, because he can get in a pretty aggressive spot pretty quick up the board and put a really good orb out there. Yeah, I don't think he would be a bad one, right? You could buy the Umbral Sphere, and then he's got dash, right? So you could walk him up seven hexes and then drop an orb.
Yep.
And be probably pretty safe with his defensive stat line. So.
Well, and then, I mean, you figure it doesn't cost you a fate, right? Because the Umbral Sphere's feat is free. So not only can you do that, but later on in the game, you can walk him somewhere really aggressive, still beyond that, drop a sphere, and still spend the fate to freaking Gravity Well. So then it's like they can't charge him either, so he can walk in, drop the orb,
and then
he
can't
walk
really
his butt
him.
Out.
Yeah.
So it's just like, what the hell? And so
I mean, he is a bit newer, right? So like he didn't.
And I'm wondering if that's what
in like spring, so it could be some of that. And like,
yeah,
I mean, the model's been around, so who knows if people have ordered him or what the deal is. So
right,
He's an interesting one. Like, I think if I would play Torin, I definitely would want to include him in Torin. I think you have some interesting interactions if you bring Hoxhooks and you bring a couple of sources of, because he can curse, right? Yeah, with the the thing. So you have some kind of interesting sources of curse.
Yep.
With that, because I think Hoxha is going to be really, really strong in Torin Warbands.
Yeah.
Going forward, so.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing that he wasn't taken at all. But I know for a fact, like, when I play Torin, he is one of them I like to include.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, like, I'm just like, oh, that's kind of an interesting stat, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think as the hero pool widens, and this is jumping back to the fact that we saw no Gruul or Torin in fives, no Torin in threes.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, as the hero pool widens, I think we'll start to see more of those gods equal out a little bit.
Yeah.
As the tournament seasons go on, the maps change, I think we'll see some of
the
gods
player
change.
Base grows a bit too.
Correct.
I think that helps.
That will definitely help as well. So I think all those things will contribute to the gods changing where they're at. But I honestly won't be surprised if Ista and Krognar always keep that, in a way, kind of that like second, third
place. A little
place.
Bit high.
Yeah. Because of the fact they are what you start with out of the starter box. It's
what
people are going to get comfortable with.
I think their theme is a pretty, pretty good, like, people like that theme, right? Like
White and Shadow.
Yeah, I think that's just two common themes that people will definitely kind of want to play with, I feel like. So that, I think that kind of fits in that. I don't know. Just seems like they're two pretty common, like,
yeah,
aesthetics, I guess, right? Because, like, Tomas is the undead thing that I think a lot of people kind of like as well.
Heck,
like, you know,
yeah,
Ista
yeah.
with, like, the goody, like, holy kind of good guy
angelic.
Thing. And then, yeah, and then you've got the Krognar, like, the evil assassin-y, shadowy thing. I think those are just two really good themes that you're always going to see that are probably kind of, and, again, they heavily are featured in the starter, right?
Right.
So I think that will also kind of lead them to be a bit more popular.
I definitely agree with you. So, well, all right. Wonky, I think that pretty well covers our Warfare Weekend recap. Obviously, you know, we had a fun threes event. You had a baby to get home and see and actually, you know, welcome into the world. We had an awesome fives event of people playing as well. So all in all, it was a good Warfare Weekend.
Yeah.
You know, got to spend some time seeing each other, spending some time getting, you know, back into the jam of things. Do you have any other final thoughts for the podcast for the night?
No, I mean, Warfare Weekend's fun, even though mine was cut short. So that's, you know, it was fun. Like, it was still fun the time I was there. And I'm, you know, good to see some people in person, because that's always, you know, a bit better than just on the Discord. So,
right. I do have one final question for you.
What's that?
Have you talked to the wife about Adepticon yet?
I'm fairly confident I will be at Adepticon.
Okay.
So that will be, I'm fairly confident that, I will be at Adepticon.
Cool. Like I said, I'm just curious and checking out, because for those that don't remember, Adepticon is in the middle of March And
yeah, I'm, third weekend in March usually. I think the dates are out there already. I'd have to look.
I'm pretty sure they are. But throwing that out there now, because that will also, for Judgment players, that will be a very big one, as that will be the start of the tournament season. So,
yeah.
At least according to what we've been told so far, that is the plan, is that will be the start of the tournament
season. Yeah, I think that's relatively set. We haven't heard otherwise for quite a while, so unless they decide to, like, pull a fast one on us. We also had really good turnout at Adepticon last year already, and I assume that would only increase.
Yep.
With people, like, more people being able to have models. I've seen new, like, we've picked up another player or two in our local area already. I know Chicago's picked up a couple of new players. So, like, the game's growing, at least, like, you know, anecdotally. Like, obviously, I don't see everything, but, like, we're seeing a bit more traction on the Discord for different, like, regions that weren't seeing it before.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a group that's kind of starting up in Kansas City.
Yep. I was talking with some of those guys. A couple of them at Warfare, I think.
Yeah, so we're definitely seeing the game starting to pick up.
Good.
Yeah, so Depthcon could be... I mean, we had a pretty good turnout last year. We were at, like, what, 22, I think, for fives? Yeah. And, like, 16 or so for threes, so...
Yep, so the big thing about that, then, is, guys, if you're prepping for Adepticon already, remember, fully painted warbands.
Yes, yes. I do not believe we're going to get the waiver this year.
So... just plan that now. So start thinking about your warband, even though, you know, there'll be a patch supposedly somewhere in, like, January.
So there should be a new patch before the season goes.
Right.
Which would be, I think, January timeframe is their normal plan for it.
Yeah.
It probably won't be a big one. Just because, like, the game just hasn't been out in people's hands for super long, to be honest, right? So, yeah, like,
which would make sense. Mm-hmm. But the big point here, guys, is start planning now what your, you know, Adepticon warband that you want to bring is for threes and fives. Because I don't know about the rest of you, but I know about myself. I'm a slow-ass painter. Yeah. Obviously, Wonky's not a painter. So, you know... he's got somebody that does it for him. Good for you. I'm happy for
him. I mean, bare minimum, I just use V1 models that are painted.
So. Right.
But yeah, it's, there's no way we're going to get another waiver.
Yeah.
For
Adepticon.
Adepticon. That's not going to happen. So
yeah, just make sure you plan that time accordingly to make sure your warband is painted.
Yes.
So with that, guys, Wonky and I, we're going to call it an evening. So as always, let us know if there are any future topics that you want covered on the Summoned podcast. We're more than happy to take those, put them into our document that we have, and use them for future episodes. You can always shoot those to us in the podcast and streams channel. Just ping one of us. Obviously, I'm Fabius Bile. He's Wonky Kong. We're more than happy to do that. But in the meantime, guys, the game is out there. Get your friends involved, do some demo games with them, and just have some fun with it. And Wonky, let's portal on out of here.